Senator Eastland on 90.
Yes, sir. John, it's Dennis and me sitting here talking. Is our state going to be seated at the convention?
I don't know, Jim, and I don't think anybody else does. It's a real difficult operation that's going on now.
See, we're going to be called on to advise them to come up here now.
Yeah.
Now, two on the platform committee here, I understand it's on television. They can attend the meetings, which anybody can. Can't participate in any way.
I don't know. No one's talked to me about that, and I don't know that. Although I would gather until it's kind of like a senator when anybody challenges him, whether it has merit or whether it doesn't, he doesn't take the oath until action is taken on it. And I would guess that would be true of these informal hearings. They have the platform committee has no status until a convention. They can't. There really no legally any members. Everybody sits there, but it's kind of like. A cabinet officer that's been named before he's confirmed, or kind of like Salinger before they voted to seat him. This is just a preliminary surveying group that goes on today, and they cannot recognize anybody that's, I would imagine if they filed, I had that in 44 in my delegation in Texas. They don't allow them until the credentials committee acts on them, if there's any contest. It's like a senator, if somebody asks you to stand aside, you stand aside until they act on it. And the credentials committee probably hadn't acted if somebody's asked them that. I haven't kept up with it. Nobody's talking to me about tomorrow. But on this other thing, it is a real problem, and they are systematically going from state to state talking about the points they make. Number one, that there's no... commitment to support the nominee of the convention and the party, the platform of the convention, and that you're in a war and you've got somebody in the war that may be on the other side of you, and the extreme groups are going out and talking about the lack of Negroes being allowed to participate in the elections and in the selection of the delegates.
Well, they
discriminate against, and then they really get hot when these folks who the bodies were found, their various groups are going to each one state after the other, just talking about the mass murder, and here are people who murdered the folks who are trying to help people get a chance to vote, and you coming up here and recognize them as members of the Democratic Party when they won't even say that they'll support the nominee. And
what about Alabama?
I think same thing's Alabama. I think they got the same thing in Puerto Rico. They've got the same thing in Virgin Islands. They got some divisions in some of the other states, maybe a minor.
Your name won't be on the ticket in Alabama, will it?
I don't think so. I think it'll... I haven't checked that. I don't know. I've heard it might not be on in Louisiana. And I don't think it makes much difference whether it's on in Alabama or not. As a matter of fact,
I was told that if we put electors on as the Democratic electors for the national ticket, that they would be seated. That's what we made it to the level.
Well, I think that...
Mike told me.
I would... you ought to talk to them about it, because I don't know who they talk to.
Well, they talk to them, they talk to you.
I don't recall ever discussing it with either one of them, but I have taken a position that every every state ought to comply with the rule that says that you've got to put your name on the ticket. That's the first bearing. But you know what they have to do, Jim? And I've got into this thing pretty deeply. I don't want to discuss with you how deep I have gotten because it's a problem we haven't got solved. But 11 members of the Credentials Committee can get a minority report. We ask these states involved to put no one on that committee that wouldn't go with the president and his viewpoint in anticipation that you'd get some of this race thing into it. There are at least 15 members and perhaps near 30 members of that committee that are Negroes, are people who would never vote for to seat anyone that didn't support the nominee. So that operation number one was unsuccessful. Do you follow me there? Second, there the rules say that 8 states can get a roll call. Obviously, if you have 25 or 30 members on Credentials Committee, you're going to have a good many states where those members come from, where they'd have a roll call. So second, you have a roll call. Then the third question comes on that roll call. It's almost as difficult, I imagine, for a man like Bob Wagner or the mayor of Pittsburgh, where they're 20% Negroes, or mayor of Chicago, or the governor of California, the New Jersey, 11 states that have a majority of the whole convention. But it's almost as difficult, I would imagine, for them to vote against the position of the Negroes. And even the NAACP, which is the most conservative, is taking position they ought to be in the seating of a Mississippi delegation and directed their people to oppose it. And they're testifying before the Credentials Committee, King and Wilkins and all of them. It's almost as difficult for those fellows from a practical standpoint to go back to their states and say, I voted with the people who murdered these folks in Mississippi against the Negroes in Harlem or Chicago. I voted with Mississippi. One man from one of the states told me that he would ensure that Pennsylvania is all right. 2 days he came back and said he talked to 2 or 3 mayors, talked to other folks, and they said, well, hell, I'm running for election. I can't anymore go back to Pittsburgh. Wow. and say that I voted for Mississippi, then Jim Eastland can go back to Mississippi and say I nominated Adam Clayton Powell. And so when you add that up, back to your original question, what is going to happen? The clear majority, the substantial, overwhelming majority, is against seating them. Now, there are two or three things that could happen. The president could take the position they had to be seated. They would override the president, in my judgment. That may be what ought to be done. If that were done, then you'd have a lot of other complications that would follow it. There are other alternatives. One would be not to come. One would be to come and just all of us say that there's going to be no seating or unseating, that there's differences here, but we have nothing to fight about. We're not going to have any really roll calls. The president and vice president's all there as the platform. And it's going to be a harmonious convention, so just let everybody sit in group. Let the two delegations, every one of them that want to, just come on in the hall and vote. That would be a solution. I don't know what they're going to work at. They're troubled, and they're very concerned about it, and Dave Lawrence is the chairman of the committee, and he is talking to various ones, and particularly the more level-headed ones. he was selected for that committee because he has been kind of a conduit for the South through the years and been one of the more helpful ones. Although, very frankly, the president and Lawrence and Wilkins of the NAACP and folks of that general tribe, their advice is not being heeded or followed, as you can see from the riot in suburban Chicago last night. It's beyond them. And I talked to Daley early this morning. And Daley said he's got Chicago all right, but he can't handle it out in the suburbs where the Republican sheriff is running. And these, so I would say they're gonna be one of three or four choices. One is to come, make an issue out of it, fight it out, and I think their majority will prevail. That'll be my guess, number one. Number two, not to come. Number three, to come and just say to Puerto Rico and Mississippi and Alabama and Virgin Islands and Oregon and other states that have contests about something, y'all just come on in, we'll seat you all, and then the question be who held the banner, I guess, in the demonstrations. But just say we're going to have a Operation Hallelujah here and everybody's happy and there's going to be no divisions and nobody's arguing about Johnson. And unless you want to nominate somebody else, well, we just won't even have a roll call.
Oh.
And that would be a simple way of doing it. But some of them might want to embarrass the governor or the state of Mississippi that we didn't even know about, even if we arranged that. I don't know. The governor has been rather judicious and cooperative and intelligent. And I would say very patriotic and helpful in the problems that the federal government has had with him since I've been president. And I think largely because of the advice you gave him and what you told us to do. But with Dulles and Hoover and the others that have contacted him, they all give him good marks on his relationship with the federal government.
I think he's all right.
Well, he has been, so far as we are aware. But there are the problems that I see, and I don't know how it's going to come out. Don't know the answer, and haven't been in too much myself.
Well, can I tell him of my conversation?
Oh, yes. I would tell him that I don't want to get quoted, don't want to get in the newspapers. And obviously, we've got a problem there. I am anathema to the South. A lot of them feel that they can't be associated with me in any way. On the other hand, I am a white Southerner. And you have that problem up here. So unless you can improve on me, why, I sure wouldn't get in the newspaper because I'll tell you, I talked to the governor of Louisiana the other day and asked him if he'd be able to integrate the school down there and the court order. He said he'd look into it, do the best he could. He called me back, said, I'll handle it, work it out fine. I said, that's the way I want it handled. I talked to the governor of Mississippi, and I've talked to the governor of New Jersey, and he said, well, he'd work it out. He did. But over the weekend, he met with these other governors, and some of them said that Johnson had threatened to use paratroopers. I called him about it, and he said he never heard of it, and that he hadn't said it, and of course it didn't happen.
Well, it was reported.
That's right. It was to me, too. But what I did, I called him and said, now, we want to be prepared for this, and we want you to go out there and talk to your local sheriff and talk to those folks and have the state handle it. And you let me know how you get along. And he did, and called back, said he'd handle it fine, and there's a perfect agreement, but that shows you when he goes to discussing it with other people how it gets out with the press.
I didn't know it had been in the paper.
Well, it hasn't, but the press is calling and saying that it had happened and wanting us to confirm it. Of course, we couldn't confirm it. We didn't even confirm we'd talked to him. So that's the danger of, so you point out to the governor, I've talked to him a good many times, and I've never had any problem with your